The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted, your number one source for wrestling news, rumors, opinion, and everything else, as long as you live in Southeast Missouri and you listen to Podzilla 1985.
It is the number one pro wrestling podcast on the Podzilla 1985 network.
The flagship wrestling show on the network. Absolutely. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. We had a great time last week with the Zilla Awards. We're still coming off that high. It was a great show. If you haven't listened to it, shame on you. Go back and listen to it now. It was a lot of fun. With me tonight to talk about some big stuff. We're talking about TNA tonight. We didn't get to talk about it last week. We're talking about the Royal Rumble. We're talking about some sad news. I see it right there. I wish you didn't
There's
have it
couple.
There.
There's a couple.
Yeah. With me tonight, and as always, on the Wednesday Pro Wrestling Extravaganza, we got the five-star man, Ace of Gray, down at the end of the table.
All five.
Ali Hebert.
With some big news coming towards the end of the show.
The end of the show?
Yeah.
You tease.
I know, right?
To my right, Ali Hebert.
Hello.
Did we come up with a nickname? I had one for her.
It was the producer.
I was the producer.
I'm going to start calling you Colonel Holloman Sanders.
I know because
that's who she thought Colonel Sanders' real name was Holloman.
What if you start spelling it out?
Yeah, because you get Holloman from H-A-R-L-A.
I forgot the R. I forgot you said
you,
R.
You did have a nickname for her for about 2 weeks because it was your favorite thing on TV.
Oh. And next to me is Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
All right. So you ready, Dalton?
Yeah.
Asa.
Yes.
Foxy baby.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Alicia Fox.
Which, it's not on the list. Apparently the entire reason that Alicia Fox was added to the Noam Dar, Cedric Alexander storyline was because Vince thinks that Noam Dar saying Fox sounds like a word you're not allowed to say on television.
That's not true, is it?
The rumor? The uck word that starts with F.
Oh.
And so he just thinks it's hilarious that it's basically him getting away with dropping the F-bombs on TV.
Cause this 90 million year old billionaire just gets his kicks off by getting
millionaire
somebody
that should be a billionaire.
I heard Tim Robbins once on Conan O'Brien. They were talking about curse words on TV, and he said that his favorite thing to say on television, because they can't censor it, was another Tucker. And everyone in the audience laughed because it's close enough. We could talk about that in a little bit, the Noam Dar thing and Alicia Fox and all that good stuff, because that's...
Oh, yeah, that happened this week. I forgot already.
And that's just a silly thing that he would get a kick out of that, but that doesn't surprise me.
Vince McMahon.
Yeah, considering... I mean, remember you... God, we could go on a list of things that were terrible, but he found funny, like...
Natalia farting.
Hate that word, Natalia. what was the fat guy's name?
Bash and Booger.
Big Dick Johnson.
Big Dick Johnson. If ever you wanted a shameful set of words to say on pro wrestling, it's Big Dick Johnson. Allie, did you ever see Big Dick Johnson?
No.
Well,
so we'll give you a brief history real quick while Dalton looks it up. I think he was a producer or a writer,
yeah,
right? That would basically come out in a suit or shirt and pants, strip down to his tiny thong and dance around, and Vince McMahon
covered in oil.
He would literally cover himself in oil while he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince McMahon thought it was the funniest thing, because fat people showing off their fat bodies is hilarious. Speaking of fat people on wrestling, and Dalton is now showing
it's not the Miz.
Big Dick Johnson to how many times can we say Big Dick Johnson in
one
show?
I feel like
show?
We've hit
the quota.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Before we get to the big news, can we talk just a second about what happened on SmackDown Live? Because or was it Raw? It was SmackDown.
I don't know which one you're wanting to talk about.
Of the big wrestler, the big woman that wrestled.
Oh, what was her name, Dalton? That Carmella beat? CJ.
CJ Lundy.
Yeah. Billy didn't get to see the picture. He wants to see Big Dick Johnson.
Oh, I was like, what? I'm sorry.
One more in there.
Dalton's not. You, never mind.
CJ Lundy wrestled, was just kind of, it was like an enhancement talent for Carmella to squash.
Because Carmella is in a storyline right now with James Ellsworth.
Right.
Who. The joke about him is that he's ugly.
Right.
You get, okay, so mm-hmm. we're
he's
caught
unattractive.
Up to speed. Okay.
Yeah.
Go.
And CJ Lundy, which is, she was not like fat. She's a bigger girl. Like, she was bigger than Carmella, and she didn't have a typical, you know, WWE woman wrestler look, but she was by no means fat or gross.
She was not like Bertha Faye.
Yeah, exactly. Because right. that's what I was thinking of. But if you listen to JBL on commentary, you might as well think that she came down on a Rascal scooter like Enzo.
But not because he's injured.
Yeah.
She's injured.
And it was just like making fun of her ring gear, making fun of her appearance, making fun of her weight. Just like, this has Vince McMahon all over it.
So they weren't being a star at the moment.
Oh yeah, no, be a star, WWE, while, you know, Jack Gallagher's sister, Susan Boyle. That super topical reference of Susan Boyle.
Oh my God.
In his defense, JBL stuck in like 2005.
Well, and you have to remember, if it's coming out of their mouths, it's probably not JBL. It's probably Vince McMahon in his ear going, say she looks like Susan Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
And JBL goes, okay.
JBL was probably super on board. Like, that's hilarious, boss.
But you've heard JBL speak before. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he probably has better references than Susan Boyle.
That's true.
It's one thing WWE loves to do and they'll forever do is it's always still funny to make fun of overweight people.
Yeah.
You can't make fun of black people. You can't make fun. Well, they still do.
It's like, that's not true.
In very subtle ways. But you can just flat out talk about how unattractive fat. Remember Piggy James?
Yep.
Which, by the way, was a shot at Mickey James, who was in insane shape.
Right. Vicky Guerrero.
Oh my God, Vicky Guerrero.
And her feud with with Lay Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's.
Well, who did Mickey James feud with? Lay Cool.
Lay Cool, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they called her Piggy James.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's shameful. It's shameful the way WWE. And then they have the audacity to say, be a star.
Yeah.
They have the audacity to talk about anti-bullying when Stephanie McMahon herself is the embodiment of a bully.
Yeah.
But it's a character. It's a character that never gets her comeuppance. You mm-hmm. get it? It's like JR from Dallas. And I hope someday on the show, someone shoots her. On the show.
Like she gets in a limo that blows up?
Well, no, she gets in a limo and then, I don't know, Crime Time comes and shoots her in the limo.
Crime Time!
They have crime in their name! That was the first one I could think of.
It couldn't have been like the Smoking Guns. It couldn't have been...
No, all I could do is picture a shootout between Brian the Smoking Pillman. Guns and Crime Time.
Oh, no, I'm sad.
But yeah, no, it was... It's. Because he shot it.
He's dead.
Austin. Yeah. But he shot at Austin.
Oh, speaking of dead things, let's jump into the big story of the week. We didn't talk about it last week. We're going to talk about it now. TNA not dead.
Yep.
TNA not dead. You know who is dead? Dixie Carter's career with TNA. I just noticed that I'm doing the Donald Trump hand gestures.
And stop it.
And I think yeah, it's because
great, great visual gag for the audio podcast.
If I say Donald Trump hand gestures, I'm pretty sure everyone right now is picturing the little sausage fingers.
Right.
Moving around.
Well, this is pro wrestling unscripted, so well.
Now I'm bullying.
That's fine. But yeah, TNA officially acquired by Anthem, which they had that new logo, which you were very right, Dalton,
Nightwing.
In the sense that it looks exactly like the Nightwing logo.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. EC3, there was a gif that came out of him walking to the ring, and there's an Anthem logo, like, next to the Impact logo, and he just walks up and starts, like, petting it and rubbing it and pointing at it, like, yeah, he's celebrating. And we kind of touched on it last week, but I can't remember the guy's name, but Dixie Carter was, like, trying to put her input for an India tour, and he literally was just like, this isn't your concern anymore. and then she was told, you're not welcome at this week's set of Impact tapings.
And it'd be the Indian tour.
Or any other set of Impact tapings.
They did the Indian tour with Ring Ka King, right? Like,
yeah.
That was actually,
yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was a very cool concept.
That wasn't even just a house show. That was like, they actually filmed TV.
That was a
full blown
thing,
yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like the CWC was here in America, you know,
yeah,
with the Cruiserweights. And I thought that was a cool idea. So mm-hmm. I don't think that was her idea, obviously.
No, yeah.
I don't really know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what Dixie Carter's ideas were. And it's very easy for me to...
It was essentially... Basically, it was... She wanted to kind of do tapings while over there. Because it's like, well, we're there anyway. We're spending this time. Let's just do the tapings. But apparently, like, the cost of actually getting the equipment over there and up and running and finding, like, reliable ways to actually film stuff...
I was actually referring to just in general. I don't know what Dixie Carter brought to the table other than a platform and money at first.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I can remember Dixie Carter doing was hiring a lot of older guys
mm-hmm.
who tried their best to make it like the early 90s and late 80s again. And we are far past that point at this point. There's a difference between people wanting to see the nostalgia act of Hulk Hogan versus people wanting to see a nostalgia act of the Nasty Boys.
Beating people who are in their prime.
Or people like Val Venus beating people.
Christopher Daniels.
Yeah. So,
oh, that one still hurts.
So I get the mentality was that people will pay to see the nostalgia acts, but not all of them. There
no.
are some,
mm-hmm.
you know? But now that Anthem has bought TNA out, we're very sad to say Billy Corgan lost that fight.
Yeah.
And now it just kind of seems like what a waste of time for him. That entire thing.
I mean, he got paid.
He did.
Apparently, but, he got a chunk of his money back. So.
But you could see that I think he legitimately loved.
Oh yeah, no, he loves pro wrestling.
He loves pro wrestling.
Apparently, he has like shows he bases out of Chicago that he'll do. But this was like his, you know, he really wanted to kind of throw his hat in a televised.
Yeah, this was his opportunity to turn something around and to make something big. And they fought him at every corner on it.
Especially when you see like the reaction of like the people in the locker room whenever he was outed, just like, oh, this was our guy.
Yeah. I love that one song, you know? You guys don't even know what song I'm talking about, do you?
Rat in a Cage?
Tonight is the Night?
Uh-uh.
Really? You don't know that song? It had the video based on the Man on the Moon thing?
I'm not a big Smashing Punk.
Yeah. It's neither here nor there. Now Anthem is completely in control.
Yep.
They have already... Do they have anything left from the previous guard tape-wise? Or is it all fresh now?
What do you like?
Like, did they tape so far in advance where you're still going to see the Dixie Carter product for a few months, or is it all
that I don't know? Now? They haven't put out the last thing that they actually aired as new is the Total Nonstop, or is the Apocalypto, the right. Total Nonstop deletion?
Yeah.
Which was the worst thing in
for you? Last week,
the worst script. No, I can't even say that.
Last couple weeks they did, or I think yesterday is the first day they started taping for like I think it said January 26th. Is when they're going to come back on the actual air. So I don't know if, like, they're not doing a hard reset of, like, championships and stuff.
Right.
Like they could do.
But they I don't think they should.
It doesn't even look like they're going to be changing the name.
Which is good, because do you remember and Dalton, you'll probably remember this as well, and Ali, I will explain it for you, because I know you weren't a fan at the time. When WCW switched over from the, when Eric Bischoff came back, I remember they did the Millionaires Club versus and they kind of did a hard reset of WCW in a way. And I thought that was a huge error.
They brought all the wrestlers to the ring and they were like, give up your championships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
They rebooted WCW and it was a terrible idea because they never got the traction. They basically stopped any traction they had with the idea that, well, we can just start fresh and everyone will enjoy it. And it still wasn't an enjoyable product.
Yeah. Well, because I could be wrong because I wasn't following as thoroughly then. But didn't they just kind of automatically reset back to just the status quo?
Yep.
The older guys got their championships back. The younger guys were...
Not at first. If I remember correctly, and again, if you fans out there remember it differently, let me know. I specifically remember at first they really pushed the young guys. I remember Billy Kidman beat Hulk Hogan one-on-one. And that blew my mind because Hogan was still Hogan. Yeah. So for Billy Kidman to beat him was... I mean, yeah, there were shenanigans, obviously, but he still beat him. You know, which is the best you can say for WWE now. If Kevin Owens beats Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble, do you really think it will be legit? No. Shenanigans. But yeah, they did the hard reset. They tried to reboot it. Didn't work. I don't want to see TNA do the same thing because there are some things in TNA that work really well. Bobby Lashley has really come into his own. If we had done the Zillow Awards a year or two ago, I think he would have won Most Improved.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's done a phenomenal job. Matt Hardy.
He could have been in a debate for this year too, for 2016.
The most improved.
Yeah. Cause he's just gotten better.
He has.
It just helps that 2016, he focused a little bit more on wrestling throughout, more consistently through the year than MMA.
Yeah.
And like, even with the hard, I don't even think it was a hard reboot, but whenever they started on, Destination America, the opening impact on Destination America was actually really cool. Like, they rolled out the red carpet and it just started with a brawl. Like, the Beatdown Club just attacked everybody.
Yeah, but you want to avoid the feeling of like hot-shotting just because you got the new, how do I word this correctly?
But you kind of need to if you're on a new network or if you're doing like a new company.
If you can back it up with quality product.
Yeah, you have to continuously do it. Destination America never had the backing.
Well, Destination America was a terrible fit for TNA.
Yeah, but they also just never gave them the backing that they needed.
Well, again, because it was a terrible fit for TNA. Yeah, you know what was on Destination America because I have the channel.
Ghost Hunters.
No. Ghost Hunters is a sci-fi.
Mountain
Monsters. Paranormal, etc. Like, it's all ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
TNA was a terrible fit. Kind of like sci-fi when they got SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, that's a terrible idea.
It's almost
ECW.
Yeah.
It's just a bad idea.
You know what a really good idea was? Back whenever they were on Spike and then like it'd be like Impact and then Ultimate Fighter. Be like, yeah, you'll watch both of those shows. That's a good 3-hour block of TV.
Yeah. Well, we've said it before. TNA has had how many opportunities to really knock it out of the park and they've failed almost every time.
And that's why I kind of really think that, especially with Anthem, like this is the first time they're going into tapings knowing what money they have. And like knowing that they're actually secure financially for right now.
Yeah.
In years. They don't, they've never had that, you know, before. At least not in a really long time.
So no, because every show we say is TNA's going out of business.
I actually think, and maybe it would have been better if Corgan had taken over, but they need to drop the TNA name because that's just, who does that appeal to?
The name TNA?
Yeah. The 14 year olds and.
I mean, you could say that there's a brand awareness because you know what TNA is, but at this point.
But at this point,
the
is
brand
that,
awareness
I was gonna
is
say,
not
is that good.
Good
or.
Right. Right.
You know, even if it was just like someone pitched, like, it's just Impact. It's just Impact Wrestling. That's what the brand is because Impact's a good name. That's.
Yeah.
And Impact Wrestling, that even does have kind of the awareness because that was the TV program.
Yeah.
But I think this would have been a really good time to do that hard reset of just like, okay, the old regime is out. This is a new time. We're starting from scratch. Characters don't need to change. Motives don't need to change. Like, storylines don't even necessarily need to change. But you really need to.
Would you take the titles away?
Yeah. I would, I would make it a tournament for every belt.
Which I'm a sucker for a tournament, so.
And that would give you a good 5 to 6 weeks of people wanting to watch to see who the champion's going to be
and
watch. And
then you
matches.
Can still have, you know, like the DCC. Like, okay, well, how are they going to go into it? Are they going to after a singles title or a tag title? Decay, like, you know, you have all these moving parts because there are a lot of, their roster is really strong.
It's
not as strong as it has been, but it's really good. It's just now I really think that this is the best time to totally, okay, we're changing the set. We're changing like the ring cut. Like we're
just going
doing,
full out.
Yeah. Just rebrand.
Exactly. Just a total rebrand.
Well, what do you blame TNA's failure on? Like, an honest answer, do you blame, and not even failure, because they're not out of business. They've stayed alive.
Yeah.
But you obviously would say, well, they've not done well, especially in the last couple of years. Do you blame it on a bad in-ring, when I say in-ring product, I don't mean the wrestling, because the wrestling is usually solid.
Yeah.
But the storylines have, over time, either been decent to good to
god-awful.
Terrible. Do you blame that, or do you put solely the blame on Dixie Carter for what's happened
to TNA? Not solely on Dixie Carter, and you may not like this, but Hulk Hogan was a cancer.
No, I 100% agree. Like,
Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff, they really had a chance because I think that was when their roster was the strongest.
And that was when they had the most buzz, too.
And they're bringing in the Nasty Boys, and they really could have, if they would have just put their egos aside, they could have made and there were just so many mistakes. Like, the book is going to be fascinating in 5 years.
Yeah, when R.D. Reynolds puts it out.
Yeah.
From WrestleCrab. he did a great book on WCW.
Because, Hogan, kind of like the money that went to Hogan and Bischoff, they could have spent elsewhere. The move to Monday nights to try to restart the Monday Night War.
Do you guys remember what like their first Monday Night with Raw did?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, it was the return of Bret Hart in 14 years.
And I mean, that was just a trump card.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no.
You can't even be mad at TNA for trying. I get why TNA tried it and why they brought in Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. Because, you know, you can't take away what they did in WCW.
Right.
When they took the fight to WWF at the time. Mm-hmm. But you can't, what is it? You can't catch lightning in a bottle.
Lightning doesn't strike twice.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't just look at the past and go, let's redo it. Because that's never worked in wrestling. No. The NWO, DX. Anytime you try to do something that was done before, it's watered down. And in a case like this, it almost put the company out of business.
Right.
So, because they were spending money on guys like Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And look in the past few years, who has left TNA? Remember when TNA had AJ Styles,
Samoa
Joe, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, Eric Young. Mm-hmm. You can go down a list of people that are doing what? TJ Perkins.
Lethal, Xavier Woods.
Yeah, my God. So many people that are doing well in WWE and Jay Lethal who
and
unfortunately
elsewhere,
has never come. Yeah. And man, now they've got a chance to do it again. But here was my question originally when I asked you what you blame it on is even with this restart, like, is the product going to be good enough to keep people interested now that the money's there?
It could be. We don't know.
Are you interested in it?
I'm
not just from the story of, well, I want to see TNA do well. Like, storyline wise, Ali, you haven't said much here because we ramble on. I want to ask you the limited things that you've seen from TNA, which
nothing.
I guess
the only thing she's seen from TNA is the Hardy stuff, though.
Yeah.
Does that appeal to you?
It seemed honestly like a bad old YouTube video that people caught onto and became really big for a while.
So it's like the Winnebago Man.
It's the old Greco wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was actually. Okay,
so my question is, you started watching wrestling when you joined this group of Yahoos pretty much.
Yes.
And you like wrestling?
Yeah.
Did this, and the stuff that you saw, because you cannot say that they have not pushed the Hardy stuff like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's become a focus. They've given them how many specials. Did it keep your interest? Do you want to watch more TNA because of what you saw?
I would be interested. To me, it's more focused on the entertainment than wrestling. Because it had to do with more of the character of Matt Hardy and the broken Matt Hardy and the craziness of it all. And so it seemed more of a how entertaining can this be, not how focused, how can we bring this and to make it more towards wrestling.
Were you entertained? Honestly, you can be honest here. We're friends.
It's entertaining with people. It's one of those things that if you're watching it with people, it can be entertaining. But if I just had to sit down and watch it, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go to Gilmore Girls.
And that's kind of how it was presented, too. Because, like, all of the reaction videos that people were doing watching it, like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Because
we watched the first, what was the very first one called? It was,
Deleted Decay.
No, it was Final Deletion.
Final Deletion. Which is the only one I saw.
We watched Final Deletion here. Allie, myself, I know Mike Branham was here. Mm-hmm. I think Steven was here. And we all found it very entertaining because we all went, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Look.
Yeah.
But then skip to Total Nonstop Deletion when Ace and I watched it alone.
Yeah.
And were miserable. Like, for the not all of it. There was some good stuff.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, I really did think it was just god awful.
Yeah.
So I worry that.
It's just kind of what, like, the joke went too far.
Yeah.
But, so to like, get back to your question of, cause I've been a fan of TNA. Like, I think TNA has been doing some really good things in the last few months. Like, even the last year, I'd say. Like, there's less, like, crazy shenanigans for every main event. They've fixed a lot of mistakes. So I'm interested to see if it continues to improve because I like their roster. I like the idea that Dixie Carter has no longer has any input. She's not going to be on TV. She's not going to be behind the scenes.
Right.
You know, if it succeeds, I think this is a great time for it to really catch on. But I think a total rebrand would have helped that. But, and even like, you know, you said you were watching the Hardy stuff for the entertainment value. The actual wrestling that they present is really good because you got guys, you have Drew Galloway, you have EC3, you have Bobby Lashley,
News special correspondent Tyrus.
like there's a lot of really great wrestlers there and they all kind of, they care. You can tell that these are people who are really hungry. And now that Dixie's gone, I kind of hope that being able to watch it will see a resurgence and really, you know.
And they have a chance to really push these guys as the new face of TNA.
Right.
Like, that's the big thing, because you have to replace AJ Styles. You have to replace Samoa Joe. And instead of going and getting people like Hulk Hogan or getting guys that have name value and then going, okay, well, this will sell tickets. Instead, you focus on building up people, which is the mistake WCW made where they never built new faces.
Right.
They just fed them to the guys.
They did accidentally.
Like Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Well, Goldberg wasn't an accident, but Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho.
Radicals.
Yeah.
When they came into WWE, yeah. It's just like, oh no, like we like watching them. So we cheer them.
Right.
But Hogan and them hadn't even made it to the venue yet that first hour.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the best thing about it, and the most important thing is that as long as TNA is in operation, one, you have a viable contender against WWE for wrestlers to go work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, anywhere that people can go to work is good.
And as a wrestling fan, you get something different to watch.
Yeah.
Like that's the reason we loved the Cruiserweight Championship so much. That's the reason we love NXT because it's not just WWE TV. Yeah. It feels different. And TNA feels very different. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of friends in the industry now. We're proud to say a lot of guys that wrestle, and the more places they have to go to ply their trade, the better.
Right.
So again, I would say anyone that was hoping that TNA would go out of business, because we reported on it a lot.
Yeah.
We would always say, okay, it looks like TNA's gone, but we never took pride in it.
No. Well, and
nobody
always
wanted TNA to go out of business.
It's just that I think it was the idea of just the branding TNA. We wanted to go away.
Because and Dixie Carter.
Yeah. And Dixie Carter. Whereas like, no, you know, keep it as Impact Wrestling, keep it as Billy Corgan's own promotion, whatever.
Right.
Like, we didn't want people to lose their jobs.
No.
Well, we wanted one person to lose their job.
And we don't even wish ill things on her.
No, it's just
stay away from this product. Yeah. I almost said our product. This ain't my product.
She's not welcome on the podcast.
Yes, she would.
That's very true.
Oh, I'd love to ask her some questions.
Why do you suck at what you do?
When she did the Ask Dixie Twitter thing, that was bad. That was real bad. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to look it up.
What I said, but worse.
Yeah. Oh, it was not okay.
Some
of that stuff really legitimately was not okay.
Yeah, say it's never
But then there were some very legitimate, like, questions that, surprise, surprise, didn't get answered.
Hashtag fake news. Anyway, let's stop talking about TNA. The important thing is that Anthem Bottom.
Yep.
We now can look at TNA not as a dying horse.
Yep.
The horse came back to life. We can no longer beat it. Let's give it a chance.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Let's nurture the horse.
Let's feed it some apples.
I need to double check, but I think January 26th. I think January 26th is their first Impact back on the air on Pop TV still.
And I was never a fan of Pop TV as a channel for them, mm-hmm. but if it works for them, because I didn't know what Pop was until they went on it.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it. But if it works for them, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. It's like when we heard, and I don't remember the name of the show, Dalton, please tell me, when it was the guy interviewing JBL and Paul Heyman on the
what was it?
Wasn't it?
Tough Talks?
No.
No, the count.
It has something to do with table.
So what about it?
Well, just when you heard them talking about, do you want it to be a 2-hour product?
Oh, yeah.
And the guy was like, I do as a fan. But then mm-hmm. they talk about how, well, we're making this much revenue. We're making this money here and this money here. And then they just battered him of like, well, do you still want it for 2 hours?
And to his credit, he could have been like, no, that's right. He's like, as a fan, yes. Like, I understand why it's 3 hours, but as a fan, I hit fast forward a lot.
And I agree with him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And as a fan, I wasn't a big fan of Pop TV. But again, mm-hmm. if TNA is doing well there versus when they were on Destination America or Spike TV.
Especially if they're being treated better.
Yes.
Because the networks, they have a pretty historically been.
Generally, wrestling is treated so poorly by mainstream.
That's true.
And it always has, unless you're WWE. And WWE has
Meltzer just had one of his reports was that, you know, he's of the belief that the networks are using WWE to their benefit. And not the other way around like it should be.
Right.
But that's a whole other.
Well, because I feel like, and just real quick, because mm-hmm. I've always felt this way, and I'm glad you brought that up. I've always felt like WWE is so desperate to get mainstream attention.
Yeah.
And the mainstream just uses them to get that 18 to 35 demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care about them at all.
Do you remember the build for the Vince McMahon-Donald Trump match?
Oh, yeah.
Of who is going to, like, okay, who do you want to see go bald? And they were very clearly hoping that every celebrity would say Vince McMahon. Because Donald Trump was the good guy.
Right.
He was the face in this storyline. And everyone just said, oh no, shave Trump's head, shave Trump's head. And so they had they showed that video package once.
Did you ever find that, Dalton?
I'm still looking for it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not that important.
Yeah. It's like on the table.
On the table.
I feel like that's not the case.
To the table. It's something about table.
We'll figure it out later.
It's fine.
I am
the table. It's called I am the table.
That's
Let's talk about the Royal Rumble first. Royal Rumble, not the Rural Rumble. The Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble. It's January 29th, right?
Yep.
The day after CCW Cage Chaos. So it's going to be a busy weekend for wrestling for us again.
Bring it to the table, by the way.
Bring it to the table. He found it in 10 seconds. You've been looking this entire time.
That's why he's the 5-star man.
That's true.
It's true.
That's true.
It has something to do with the table.
So of... The Royal Rumble is the 29th. It's always been one of my favorite pay-per-views.
Yep.
Any of the big four. Like, I know that's cliche.
Well, I got some bad news for you this year. God, it's not good.
We don't even have the stuff that I want to talk about on here about the Royal Rumble because I want to talk about the fact that Roman Reigns secured his title win on Raw by dropping the U.S. title to Jericho. That's going to happen.
But unfortunately, Undertaker's now in the Rumble too, so.
Well, that's because here's what happens. Mm-hmm. The Undertaker wins the Royal Rumble. John Cena wins the title. John Cena versus Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Doesn't need the championship. If you think that John Cena versus the Undertaker at WrestleMania won't sell tickets or buys without a championship, you are terrible at your job. Like, if you don't think that you can build WWE? Arguably the two biggest names in professional wrestling today, facing off against each other for really not necessarily the first time, but on a stage in years.
Yeah.
And especially at WrestleMania, you're nuts. There's no need for the championship to be involved in that.
CM Punk said that at his WrestleMania against Taker whenever they were throwing in Paul Bearer's death. He's like, we don't need to do this. It's a match against me and Undertaker. Nobody has to sell it.
It doesn't need to be
a star.
Yeah.
Anyway. But that's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're also not going to talk about,
we can.
Well, I figure we'll do that closer to the Rumble. This is an hour show. This is tight.
That's fair.
And we still have to talk about this weekend.
Yes.
Last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you got Royal Rumble entrance. Royal Rumble. This is hard for me. Entrance on the list. I'm assuming you were talking about the big one from Raw.
Well,
amongst others.
The Undertaker announced he was in the Royal Rumble. Braun Strowman announced he was in the Royal Rumble.
Who came back to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
During Mick Foley's awful job performance review, which was a terrible segment. Made only to emasculate Mick Foley and make Stephanie McMahon keep Stephanie strong style.
Make sure she's in charge.
Yeah. And the gimmick was that if he can't produce The Undertaker, he's fired. Mm-hmm. They draw it out the entire show, and then The Undertaker comes back. And everyone goes nuts, of course, because it's The Undertaker. They should go nuts. He's mm-hmm. great. And he says, I go where I want. I do what I want. I'm entering the Rumble. I dug 29 holes for 29 souls, mm-hmm. which doesn't make
rest
sense.
Rest in peace.
So every
Dalton, la, 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 la.
Every time he talks now, I want the shirt. Like whenever he said,
digging holes and taking souls. Yeah,
yeah, I want that shirt. 29 holes for 29 souls. I want that shirt.
Hey, Shannon, remember when he said that he doesn't answer to any man?
Yeah.
Well,
he doesn't name
Vince McMahon.
Oh well, yeah. There's that one.
Ugh.
Doesn't count. There's a Mick in front of it.
But didn't he call Undertaker bitch?
No, that was Shane.
No, Shane called.
Shane said he was being. Vince McMahon's.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it was. Vince didn't order him to. You just don't call the Undertaker bitch.
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
This is after Vince already told him you were fighting.
Hey, remember also when Undertaker went back to SmackDown and said, I'm home mm-hmm. and I'm back?
Yep.
And then disappeared on Raw.
And then disappeared for how many months? Since
two?
Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Now he's back for real this time.
But on his new home Raw.
Like have you seen his new shirt?
Because he wasn't on SmackDown.
Does he have a new shirt?
He does have a new shirt.
Does it say 29 holes for 29
souls?
Yeah,
it literally says, I'm digging 29 holes for 29 souls. And then on the back it says, Realsies this time.
Exclusively on Raw.
It's the best shirt.
So
and that's huge yeah. Because, I mean, The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar and Goldberg in the same Rumble.
Yep.
Like, I know you're going to say, but those are all old part-timers. Yes, it's true. But still,
but any of
that's
those
pretty
are
incredible.
Believable as,
yes,
unless
absolutely.
You just
by
kind
the,
of.
By the time Taker gets into the ring, the next entrant will be ready to come out.
Four or five entrants will run past him to go up there.
I miss that rule of, because someone's like, well, why are they running to the ring? Why don't they just take their time and like not even go in? Because used to it was a rule.
Nowinski, yeah.
If the entrant after you gets in the ring before you, you're eliminated.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah. They just haven't mentioned that since.
But
the
they 70s. Also have a rule, I think, where if you beat up the guy as he's going to the ring, you take his spot. Because that's happened a couple times.
No, that's the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, was that the Elimination Chamber?
It happened last year.
Oh, yeah,
too.
It did happen at the Rumble.
Yeah,
too.
Eric Rowan got beat up.
That's true.
By who?
I
just assumed you were going to say John Cena, but.
No, it wasn't Cena. I forgot who it was. It was somebody.
But,
not important.
But yeah, so.
Just like Eric Rowan.
We got Undertaker, we have Goldberg, we have Lesnar.
Dolph Ziggler announced
Strowman. Ziggler announced, Corbin announced.
This is shaping up to be an exciting Rumble.
Yeah.
Because you've already got a handful of guys that could win.
Yeah. Cause it's, I mean, there's a lot of possible winners.
Dalton just shook his head like he disagreed with me. And that's fine. I get why he's saying that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you why, Dalton. Cause you know
yeah,
who's not in the Rumble? John Cena or Roman Reigns.
Yep.
So that means that anyone could win.
Which, and to be fair, like this, there are a lot of like possibilities. Like this is the one year that I really don't know for sure who's going to win.
Right.
Because the last few years, it's been a given.
Yeah. Roman Reigns.
But this is the first one. Except now the problem is none of the like obvious answers I'm a fan of.
Like Goldberg, Lesnar.
Yeah.
Well, in
Undertaker.
We've said it before.
I mean, but like Miz and Ziggler or Miz, Ziggler, Ambrose. I could see Ambrose win. Like there's so many.
In my dream world, mm-hmm. right? Reality versus fantasy. Fantasy, Miz wins. Miz wins. He's going to ride this whole everyone's against me, and he's going to fight maybe even Cena
mm-hmm.
for the title at Mania or something like that. Or maybe he – oh, God, I just thought about this. What if Miz does win the title or wins the Rumble and picks Raw and goes after Roman Reigns?
I love the Rumble because there are so many different – plus, you know, you have like, you know, when the Wyatt family dominated, when CM Punk dominated, when he was cutting the promo in between eliminating jobbers.
When
like,
Kane and Big Show threw out all of the people
that
everyone
wanted to win.
Yeah. When Rusev was still in it and everyone was so excited for Rusev to come back against Reigns.
Only to immediately lose.
Was that the one where The Rock comes out?
Yeah, afterwards to get everybody
happy. It
was
like,
happy.
Why are they not
greatest
cheering?
The reaction ever of that WTF phase is the crowd's booing.
What'd you say to them?
They know you're my cousin, right?
But not really. Like, I say you're my cousin, but you're not really my cousin.
Because I love the Rumble. Because they usually do a lot of really cool stuff with it. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the surprise entrance.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
Which I'm actively trying to avoid any sort of.
They usually do a really good job. Like, no one knew AJ Styles was going to be in the
Rumble.
For
sure, it was speculated, but whenever he hit, it was a
which,
surprise.
Which, I mean, there's a difference between, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, like, Kenny Omega shows up? And I'm not going to be scouring Reddit or, you know, 411 or ProWrestling.net and be like, so Kenny Omega was seen backstage. Like, I'm avoiding all of that.
Right.
So group chat people, don't do it.
Yeah.
In general, people, don't do
chat.
It. Don't. There's no reason.
Don't tell us.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone. There's no reason. Like, unless someone actively is like, oh, hey, did you see who's going to be in? Yeah, who? Like, then, okay, but don't just...
Ask, don't volunteer.
Yeah, don't just volunteer the information.
Also, we're going to do a gambling game this year on it. Everybody bring $5.
I don't know if I can afford that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do that.
Ah, I want to do it.
I'll
bring 5 pesos.
Like, everything's going to be great matches, but it's the story of WWE of, boy, your storytelling should be not terrible. Because I'm excited for AJ Styles versus John Cena again, because they always have, the like, their first two matches were great.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking forward to...
The story?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Goldberg and Lesnar in the Rumble because I want to know where they go from was it Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm excited to see where they go from. I'm curious. Not excited. I'm curious. Because the obvious answer is Lesnar eliminates Goldberg or vice versa.
Yeah.
And then the other one drags the other one out. Mm-hmm. And that continues their feud to Mania, which is fine. That's a fine way to tell a story. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious.
They already did it.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see if they instead go maybe Goldberg wins the Rumble.
Yeah.
To take on Cena for the title at Mania. You know, there's triple threat match. Cena, Lesnar, Goldberg. You know, there's a couple different ways. Dalton just threw up a little bit. There's a couple ways they could do it, and I'm excited to see about it. If you could pick one person to surprise entry into the Rumble, just speculation. You know, just your wish list.
As a winner or just someone who we think is going to be there?
Just we're all sitting there watching, and all of a sudden he comes out, and everybody's like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're here.
Ty Dillinger, number 10.
Ty Dillinger?
Yep.
Dalton?
Samoa Joe.
And I'm talking about, it doesn't have to be in WWE. I mean, just any wrestler that they could go, hey, do you want a shot in the Rumble? Mm-hmm. Because they've done it before. Rob Van Dam showed up in the Rumble.
I'm going for like a realistic because I really do think Ty Dillinger will be the 10th entrant. And if he's not, what is wrong with you that is served up on a platter?
So Dalton, you said?
I said Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe. Allie?
I don't know. My first thought was Nakamura, but I have no idea if that would work with the story.
Doesn't have to. It's the Rumble.
It's a Rumble. So. It's a one-off.
Because
that's how Rusev debuted was the Rumble.
Rusev debuted in it. And then was it the Andre Battle Royal that Hideo Itami wrestled in, right?
Because he won an NXT tournament during Access.
Yeah. Yep.
I think Shinsuke Nakamura is a great entrant for the Rumble. In fact, I wish they would use more NXT guys.
Yeah.
By the way, I would say, but I don't know if they're – Matt Hardy. But I don't know if his contract is completely up yet. Because I remember them talking about his contract being up. I don't know if he resigned.
It was coming up, but like him and Jeff's both were. WWE were interested, but it's nothing's really been.
But I could see it as a like AJ Styles thing where it's speculated, oh, he might be there.
Yeah.
And imagine if Matt Hardy comes out, the crowd will go nuts. Yeah. You know, like with AJ Styles. I also want Kenny Omega to be there, but hell, I want a lot of people to be there.
Right.
Ricochet.
I'd be super happy if the American Nightmare was there.
I'd be super happy
if Austin. Oh, that will never happen.
I'd be happy if Austin Lane was there.
Yeah.
Imagine best of the best Austin Lane comes out and I'd go nuts.
I'd see Farmer Billy Hills just throwing people over.
Yelling at him. He'd punch him right in the mouth.
Odell just distracting people and then barbed wire just pushes him over.
They'd be
the
like,
top.
Did you just change your shirt again?
He slides under the ring, comes back out.
There's actually a booth set up next to the ring. He walks in occasionally and comes out.
He's got a phone booth. It's like Superman.
It's a US.
He jumps in, comes out in a different shirt.
US TARDIS. You know?
US TARDIS.
So we're gonna talk a lot more about the Royal Rumble in the coming.
Speaking of the Royal Rumble, this is the end of show announcement is just going to happen now.
What?
I am officially announcing.
No.
The five-star man, Ace Gray, is going to be a participant in the Royal Rumble.
What? You picked a bad year.
I disagree. Because apparently that's all it takes.
I'm excited.
Because that's all we've seen. It's just people come to the ring like, I'm in the Royal Rumble. So, okay. Just pencil me in.
All right.
WWE.
PWE fans, hashtag put five star rumble. Hashtag five star rumble. Start posting on social media. Let's get Asa Gray in the Royal Rumble.
It's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
Cause I called dibs. I called dibs on a spot.
They haven't said
so it's really gonna be upsetting. It was like, we were gonna put Kenny Omega in, but he didn't call dibs fast enough.
Yeah.
So
it's
sorry about your internet.
It's
I really hope you walk out there and Omega destroys you on the way in.
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I would too. Asa took a beating for Omega.
V-trigger.
Maybe we just get the entire PW group as one. Like, you'll stand on my shoulders.
It's like the three Vikings
and we'll have a coat over us.
It's the three Vikings in Heroes of the Storm. Lost Vikings.
The Lost Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'd be the Ice Climbers in Smash Brothers.
There's four of us. How would that work? Sure. There's only two Ice Climbers. You're so stupid.
So stupid.
Anyway.
What's next, Shane?
Let's talk about Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yes.
The Japanese WrestleMania, more or less.
The New Japan.
Yeah. I've only seen Kenny Omega versus Okada, but phenomenal match. We did watch it on double speed. That's like a 55 minute match, man.
It's like 45, 50 minutes.
My attention span. And that wasn't even an Iron Man match. So that was just Kenny Omega and Okada beating each other up for an hour.
I had a snow day last Thursday in the sense that I didn't have to work either job. So I didn't get out of pajamas and I just sat in my chair watching Wrestle Kingdom 11.
And that sounds like heaven.
And doing laundry. So I did like 5 loads of laundry. I watched the 5.5 hour Wrestle Kingdom 11 show, which was amazing.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Compared to, because you know, you don't know a ton about New Japan Pro Wrestling. None of us have watched a ton of it. Mm-hmm. You do watch a ton of WWE just because it's the most accessible. We've said it before. Compare WrestleMania to Wrestle Kingdom 11 in terms of your enjoyment, because they're both really long. WrestleMania was what, 6-7 hours last year?
Mm-hmm.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Wrestle Kingdom 11, 5.5 hours. Because we said at WrestleMania that it felt like it dragged in parts because it was so long.
And
did you get that feeling from Wrestle Kingdom?
No, but I also kind of cheated because in between, like, I didn't watch all 5.5 hours at once. Like, I would watch 2 or 3 matches at a time, and then I played Overwatch for a little bit. I would watch a couple more matches, and then I'd play Pokemon and read comics and stuff. So it's hard for me. Like, if I sat through all 5.5 hours in one chunk, that might have been pretty exhausting.
Yeah.
Especially because the last 3 matches were four matches, I think.
Yeah.
Were, like, Meltzer gave him 4.75 and then the 6 stars for Omega Okada. But then you had the debut of Cody Rhodes. You have the tag team match with Young Bucks and Roppongi Vice.
Which, by the way, of Cody Rhodes, I don't know if you saw, made his return to Impact.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, it was great. Like, it was a great event. There wasn't a bad match anywhere, not counting the pre-New Japan Rumble that they do every year. Which is more of just a comedy, like, oh, hey, look who's here.
I really loved the Okada Omega match. And I think part of it is because I have loved Kenny Omega for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk about the Young Bucks and how they wrestle kids and how frustrating that it was to me. But at the same time, I'm a complete hypocrite because the Kenny Omega versus the 9-year-old girl match I found to be hilarious.
Yeah.
So I'm a hypocrite. It's clear. But Kenny Omega's so good at what he does.
He really
is. He's so good at what he does.
Meltzer was on the Stone Cold podcast, and that's pretty much, he's like, he's younger than AJ Styles. He's taller than AJ Styles.
He has a look. He has a look that is
unique.
Unique. But the hair, the face, like, he's handsome.
Looks so dirty.
He does. He looks sleazy.
But I think that's by choice.
Yeah.
He's got a Jerry curl. Not look sleazy.
And it's multicolored, like it's a two-tone Jerry curl. It's gross.
His entrance,
but he's amazing.
Was my favorite part of the show was his entrance alone. That Terminator thing.
Yeah.
They
did the Rise of the Terminator spot when he did the dive to the outside.
Yeah. You probably can't get away with that in America if they brought it over here.
I mean, Triple H did.
But he actually worked with him.
Yeah, he was with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But yeah, man, that entrance with the shotgun and the half Terminator face, good. And Omega is just a star.
And Okada is 29 years old.
The Rainmaker. Yeah.
The Rainmaker is 29 years old. That's stupid. He's too good to be 29.
What have we done with our lives?
Right?
Yeah, you poor things.
But,
Noam Dar's younger than me, don't worry.
I really liked that match a lot. And I think it is because just the way that I watch wrestling, the commentary killed it because the commentary was awful. It was Kevin Kelly and,
So it was Kevin Kelly. I thought that's who it was.
It was Kevin Kelly and,
Was it?
Why can't I think?
Was it Josh Matthews?
No, it was, ROH.
Steve Corino.
And they were terrible.
Really?
They didn't know the names of moves. They were talking about how bad he had to go to the bathroom.
That just sounds embarrassing.
Treating it like a joke. I would rather listen to a David Otunga and Byron Saxton team.
Oh, sweet baby.
Yeah, it was bad. So that hurt it for me, as well as...
So they didn't have Jim Ross?
That's what I was expecting was Ross and Stryker. Yeah. That's what it was last year. But no, we get Carino and Kelly. They were bad. Mm. But they, and then also just like, I was aware of the Omega story. He won the G1. Like, this is his climb to the world championship. Whereas like, something like DIY versus Revival, that history there and seeing every interaction that they've had and just, the storytelling, because they did a great job of storytelling in that match, but there wasn't that build up and anticipation for me, which is, and again, that is a total personal opinion. If you think that was the best match you've ever seen, I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but
it's all personal preference.
Yeah, it's all just,
I feel like the wrong person won. I think this was a great time to pull the trigger on Kenny Omega and make him the king of Japanese
wrestling. That was something that they talked about with Meltzer in Austin is, so if he, because his contract is up on January 31st. Even if, you know, if you don't know that he's coming back, you can never, you could never put the championship on him. You just couldn't do it. But now looking back, like when he comes back in July, because Kenny Omega said he's stepping away from Japan in a tweet, like he tweeted out, which I still hold is totally story driven.
It is.
Because it totally makes sense that that character of Kenny Omega would, you know, that match was so intense and hard hitting and brutal that.
And so disappointing that he didn't win.
That, you know, especially because he was on such a hot streak.
Right.
That, he would want to step away. But a lot of people are taking that as, oh, he's in the Rumble. Cena tweeted out or is Instagramming.
Which, yeah, can we just real quick. So John Cena tweeted out, or was it Instagram?
An actual picture of Kenny Omega.
And he also, my favorite is he put a picture of Kenny from South Park, then a giant O, and then a picture of Mega Man.
Yep.
John Cena's having a lot of fun with this.
Right. Especially because last year he tweeted out a picture of AJ Styles. And then AJ Styles entered the Rumble.
You know, I have a really big idea of, like, I have a good idea on why his contract ends after the Rumble. And it's because WrestleMania 10 didn't go too well for New Japan afterwards.
Oh, they've already said that that's.
Yeah, they were just like, well, we're going to make sure you guys don't go to the Royal Rumble
because
right after
New
Wrestle
Japan
Kingdom.
Has changed their contracts to multi-year now.
Yep. Because they got screwed over so hard last year.
Yeah.
Well, so, not screwed over. WWE acquired them legally. They didn't sign contracts well. Or they didn't give them good enough contracts.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, if you have like, so there's the New Japan Pro Wrestling World, NJPW World,
which has 10,000 new subscribers.
Is their streaming service? It's like $8.40 a month. Their website was in Japanese. I'm sure there's an American one. I just very quickly looked it up.
He assumes it's $8.40 a month.
No, because it's 999 yen.
Okay, I don't know the exchange ratio,
which roughly translates to $8.40.
Okay,
according to Google,
so around $10 a month,
which is about the same as the network. It's cheaper than the network.
Yeah.
And honestly, $10 to watch that card top to bottom, absolutely worth it. Because
not only that, but I feel really excited. The stuff that I've seen from New Japan Pro Wrestling, I started watching it on, was it Access? I saw Los Ingobernables. Los Ingobernables.
De Japón.
Are so good.
Yeah.
It's no, so much I've seen from New Japan is entertaining, and I want to see more.
That was something I wanted to mention is, like, I want to know everything about that stable now. Naito was amazing.
Yeah.
And their six-man tag where they came out for the never openweight trio championship where Evil was straight up death and then the masks, like their entrance, there's something about that group that I, the LIJ, that I very much want to know more about and watch everything because Naito was their 2016 MVP.
They have it.
Yeah, they really
it factor.
They really do.
You can't force the it factor. That's why the core didn't work. That's why it doesn't matter how much you shove down people's throats. If you don't have it, you don't have it. And they have it.
Yeah.
What do they have, Dalton?
It.
That's for you, Lane. You know who you are.
Yeah.
So we're Wrestle Kingdom 11. What we saw was great.
Yep.
I think everyone here except Allie highly recommends that you check out New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I?
Have you seen it?
She watched the match with us. Jackass. All right.
You dumb.
You are so dumb. We only have about 15 minutes left, so let's kind of – we talked so much about TNA.
We did.
Yeah.
Rex King and Jericho. Tell me about it, Asa.
Rex King was a wrestler in the 90s for WCW, WWF, who passed away. Apparently not in – I think the GoFundMe page even said like in just destitute, like super broke. So they did a GoFundMe page for his funeral expenses, and their goal was $2,500. Chris Jericho donated $2,500. So they're up to like $3,100. And like just, there was just a note. It's like $2,500, Chris Irvine. He was always great to me. Nice man. You know, hopefully he's out of pain and with the Lord now. CJ. So the paragon of virtue.
Just wonderful sounding person.
Yeah.
I always find it odd when, wrestlers die or something like this happens and you would just assume that someone like Vince McMahon or would pay for these things because it's a drop in a bucket to them.
Mr. 450 put a Facebook page up because he was injured in a match with Mustafa Ali on 205 Live and has to sell his ring gear to pay for the medical expenses.
Who's Mr. 450?
He lost to Mustafa Ali, I think, 2 weeks ago.
So it's just some random guy?
He's been in WWE development over like 2 years now.
Yeah. Like he's a legit competitor. He's not just like some nobody.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so.
And Mick Foley doesn't have health insurance, needs a hip, was it hip replacement or some kind of surgery?
Yeah, hip replacement.
And you, again, you would think.
Independent contractors. Such ripoff. Should be illegal.
But every time they've tried to unionize, doesn't go well. Because Vince McMahon has a stranglehold on it.
Yep. Dang it, Hogan.
It's silly.
A lot of people. And who fought hard for the union?
Jesse Ventura. Yeah.
Yep.
Love Jesse Ventura. Anyway, that's a great story. Yeah. With Jericho. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's a not great story.
Yeah.
Drax Shadow. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who don't know who Drax Shadow is, I actually saw this a couple days ago. Yep. He's very much like Connor, where he was a child with, terminal illness, and unfortunately he passed away recently.
Yep.
And that's a longtime WWE fan. They made his day. Like, we say this all the time about how terrible WWE is. But one thing that they've always excelled at is these Connor's Cure of the terminally ill kids, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They do so much charity work. They do so much for kids and stuff like that. You really have to give WWE credit for that stuff. And I want to do that right now. And also say, one, how unfortunate is that Drax passed away? Because, man, I'm kind of a cold heart. I am. Mm-hmm. But hearing about a child passing away, God, that
gets me. No, it's different.
He was 10 years old and for 6 years was fighting cancer.
And just saying that, I felt my eyes moisten.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It was hard to watch the Connor's Cure stuff. Like whenever they show Connor on TV, I remember Zach Price and me and everybody were just like turning away. Like, no, I'm not going to watch. Not because we didn't want to see it.
Because we're legitimately going to cry.
We're going to cry.
Oh, that whenever he was inducted into the
Hall
of
Fame.
Cool.
Someone on Reddit said that him and Connor are now tearing up the tag team division in heaven. I'm like, no, stop it. I'm not
crying.
Okay.
You're crying.
Yeah. Damn onion from Dennis. Allie's tearing up. I can see it.
And like a bunch of superstars have been tweeting out support to the family. There is a GoFundMe page for the family as well.
Which again,
Victor from The Ascension actually like changed his face paint for a house show to match the face paint that Drax would wear for his character.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so just
that's pretty awesome.
It's so great. As heartbreaking it is, it's really great to see like these over the top, larger than life characters that we only see on TV. You know, have these like intimate human moments.
Oh yeah.
Well, and it's
and it really tears you apart to see it because you envision these wrestlers, especially like the bad guys, mm-hmm. as these tough, mean guys.
Chris Jericho. That news story we just told about Chris Jericho. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna boo you.
I'll never get out of my head. When Owen Hart passed away, mm-hmm. and like Mark Henry crying, and like just seeing these big tough guys just in tears because they're still human,
yeah,
and that they do these human things that are so incredible, it makes you like them that much more.
And it's one of those things where it's like, as much as we complain about the storytelling and the writing, like, oh, I don't want to see John Cena beat AJ Styles, but like knowing all the good that Cena does, and you know, just even like seeing Roman Reigns just be a person on like Up Up Down Down,
yeah,
it's just like I don't want to be upset in your general vicinity, right. Like,
but then again. We have every right as fans to I disagree with that.
Yeah.
But we don't criticize the person. We criticize the story.
Right.
And I wish this was a story, but it's not. Yeah. And that's life, and it's terrible. And if I can make one joke to lighten the mood, it's I hope he doesn't win the Warrior. Because I hate the Warrior.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to drop it because it's making me sad talking about it. Because they have that bullshit award.
We're aware.
Okay. SmackDown Live beat Raw in the ratings last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think it was 2 weeks ago because we didn't get to talk about it.
Well, don't get used to it because the SmackDown ratings are down this week.
And it was only because it was like 2.9 for SmackDown and 2.85 for Raw. So, right. I mean, it wasn't like a blowout, but it's still worth noting.
And they immediately turned it into a storyline with Mick Foley and Stephanie. Well, the Raw rating, mm-hmm. Raw lost to SmackDown 1 week. Mm-hmm. This is your fault.
Which, I mean, isn't totally unprecedented. Look at the Monday Night Wars of any time. Oh, Vince better come back.
Yeah. Better pop a rating.
Yep.
SmackDown, don't get used to it. It was a one-time thing.
I mean, it's cool because SmackDown has been consistently better.
Every part of it. Not only is the show better, talking smack is, but do they even still do Raw talk?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. I think that was just a one-off thing.
Good, because it just felt like a watered-down talking smack. Yeah. So, glad about that. Dalton, somebody came back to wrestling recently.
Yep, Cassie Sono.
Let me build it up a little bit.
Well, then why did you ask me?
Well, I was going to do the thing, and we play around, and then you say it and get excited. Yes, Cassie Sono is back in NXT. Tell us about his return.
It was basically at just a studio at a Full Sail. Nakamura's in the ring with his belt. Cassius Ono's music hits. That's going to be hard to call him that again. comes out in a suit, just walks into the ring, slaps the belt a couple times, like on his shoulder, like a, hey there, buddy.
Yeah.
And then walks out. Doesn't say anything.
Crowd's chanting, "You welcome back."
Mm-hmm.
The crowd's excited.
I genuinely hope, I really wish that they would just do Chris Hero.
Yes, I agree.
You already have your KO and Kevin Owens.
And you know what? I was thinking that too, mm-hmm. as silly as it sounds. You remember when they had Stone Cold Steve Austin? Obviously. And then when Regal came over, they changed his name from Steven Regal because they had too many Stevens. There's Steve Austin, Steven Richards.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it to William Regal. And I thought, okay, if they had a problem with that, are you telling me two guys with the initials KO that they've built up as KO? Like they built up Cassius Ohno as KO before.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to bring him back with that same nickname? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So I hope they also go back to Chris Hero at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can see is maybe he doesn't want to, or they don't want to because of the rights to the name.
He owns the rights to the name.
So I could see that. I was never a huge Chris Hero fan. I don't have anything against him. He just never clicked with me like he clicked with Dalton.
Yeah.
But that was also back when NXT didn't take as many chances on the indie guys as they have done as of late.
Yeah. Really left right at the tail end of, or right at the beginning of, oh no, the internet loves these guys.
He got released at the end of 2012.
Has it been that long already?
That was 5 years
ago. I was going to say, like, that's...
What was the rumble that CM Punk left?
I don't remember. Years ago, I think.
I think that was 13, so it would have been 2012.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Then that was definitely not 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Because he got...
Bad with time.
He was injured, came back, was released, but still had 3 weeks left of TV.
Because I'm pretty sure
US TARDIS.
Because I'm pretty sure I was in first grade, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
sounds about right with the way I keep track of time.
Well, stay tuned to tomorrow's episode about education. Maybe you can learn something. I don't know what that was.
But so talking about like he owns the name and Chris Hero, something I forgot to write down. Tommy End got a name for NXT. Aleister Black.
Okay, Tommy End's a cool name, but I will say Aleister Black sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is it black or dark?
Aleister Black.
Is it okay? Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know what else was a really cool name? Solomon Crowe.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just now such I'm sad a again. Cool name.
He'll return. They got Chris Hero.
And then Big Damo also got a new name.
What is it now?
That I'm going to try to. I forgot to look it up beforehand because I forgot to write it down.
Is it Large Damo?
No. It's a.
Grande Damo.
No.
Ay, 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 ay.
We still we'll have there. It. Yeah, but it's a.
We'll get there. What? Is that it? No, that's his real name.
Well, this is a fun dead air.
I was gonna say, I was kind of waiting for the rest to.
Dalton told me to like go
Killian
to chat
Dane
and look.
What am No. This is the things that I need to get to still.
Tonight?
Yeah, that's from Stride.
Oh God!
I mean, we weren't gonna spend that much time on Stride.
We're at 55 minutes. Okay. Anyway, Cassius Ohno's back.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Big Damo is Killian Dane.
Ooh, that's kind of a cool name.
I like
too.
That.
A
really good
name.
Yeah,
better than Big Damo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Irish, right?
I think so.
Scottish?
Is he Scottish or
I think
Irish?
He's Scottish.
He's somewhere from not here.
Yes. Okay.
So he's going to be a bad guy.
Oh, God. One last thing. The Hall of Fame. Real quick.
I was going to say, we definitely need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Which some of these.
This is all speculation, isn't it? None of these have been confirmed.
None have been officially confirmed. DDP is, I mean, it's on his DVD. Like, they filmed his phone call with Triple H.
Okay.
And I think Rick Rude was the other one.
If there's a name. Actually, a couple
this
names
is a fantastic
here.
List, by it the is. Way. And when you look at past years, you're like, oh, okay, they're on there. Every single one on who, every one of these potential, again, not confirmed, these
right.
are the rumored.
Well, let's go over the rumored ones real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Yes.
Shoe-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's done great work.
Yep.
Rick Rude. How is he not in it
should've
already?
Been a, yeah,
yeah
been
Rick
already.
Rude is like Macho Man.
Yep.
It's not a Hall of Fame without him.
Yep.
Christian.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised.
At last.
Yeah. Oh, I got that. I've always been a huge fan of Christian.
Yep.
So I'm excited about that.
Just one more match.
The Natural Disasters.
Yep.
I absolutely.
And you know what? Tugboat individually, eh. Earthquake individually, eh.
But
the Natural Disasters together as a team, absolutely.
Finally, Shockmaster gets into the Hall of Fame.
I cannot tell you a tugboat match that I enjoyed, other than I liked when he teamed with Hogan, just because they were big guys when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Earthquake, at least. Was always phenomenal. Remember, he squished Damien in the middle of the ring, killed Jake the Snake with his giant splash. And as a kid, that traumatized me because I saw that when it happened. So Earthquake, I always thought was great. But yeah, Earthquake and Typhoon together.
Mm-hmm.
What a great tag team. Just two big guys who legitimately look like they could crush you.
Yeah.
And then a personal favorite of mine, and I'm so happy this is a rumor, IRS.
Yep.
You would think that, okay, Allie, do you know who IRS was?
No.
One, he's...
Irwin R. Scheister.
Yes, but he's...
Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt's dad.
Yes.
Oh.
His gimmick was that he was the million-dollar man's kind of right-hand man, and he was a tax man.
He was his accountant.
He was IRS.
You better pay your taxes.
And you would think that that's a terrible gimmick, and that sounds stupid, and it was, but he made it work. It's like the Repo Man.
It's one of those things also he was playing off of Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was also a huge benefit for him.
Like when he would do write-offs for the Million Dollar Man for stuff. I mean, and the Million Dollar Man would laugh maniacally. Like, it was such a good tag team.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited IRS is in there. And then the big rumor that Undertaker
might
headline.
You were missing the biggest one on that list.
Oh, God, I didn't even see it.
William Regal.
William Regal, really?
Getting into the WWE Hall of Fame, finally.
Deserved.
100%
Well,
deserved.
every single person on this list deserved.
Oh, yeah, this is a great list.
And this is not a single one.
And then the rumor of the headliner of The Undertaker.
Unless Taker is serious about coming back full-time.
Which, Dalton mentioned before the show, like, I agree that I would rather him be fully retired and done.
Yes.
Aside from them wanting to do another, like, Ric Flair, where he's an active competitor as he goes in.
And, you know, one more match at Mania.
Yeah.
And then
just that character. I don't want that Hall of Fame speech until he's completely retired.
That makes a lot of sense. It's the same reason I think they pulled him on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast on the network.
But didn't they also show on the network a picture of him?
As JBL's groomsman?
They're allowed one where they screw up with that, where they don't ruin his mystique.
But for the most part, he's very much
he's
the
protected.
Undertaker.
I still feel it. Yeah, but Undertaker, I truly believe, has transcended to this point where he can go from hat, jacket, mysterious soul taker, to he can go on stage and give a legitimate speech about thank you for my time in the business, and no one will blink an eye.
Oh, I mean, and I don't.
Well, yeah, nobody would.
It's just a preference thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I'm not going to complain. I would rather see him actually get it after.
Ever tell you how I always thought Taker should go out?
Is it the urn and Kane's mask in the middle of the ring?
No, I always thought a cool way to end the Taker, like, especially if he had lost to Lesnar at WrestleMania, if that was his last match. Have him kind of standing in the ring, have like people under the ring and arms busting through the ring and grabbing it and pulling him into hell. I know
that'd be cool.
That's stupid, but also that would just be
wicked. I still stand by if the Undertaker had debuted in like the 70s and was about to retire in the 90s, they would have just put like Luke Harper would be the Undertaker right now.
Fake Taker?
No. I just mean like there is still the character, the Undertaker, who is doing the exact same thing the Undertaker does. But it would just be Luke Harper now.
They just pass the gimmick on.
Yeah, the gimmick would, like, Mark Calloway would be retired.
Yeah, Taker would live on.
But the Undertaker is still, like, they would absolutely try to pass that off.
And Luke Harper is the, oh, stop it.
I know, right?
You're gonna, there it went. Go on. Tanner, that was for you. All right. Last thing tonight before we get out of here. And, once again, thank you guys so much for listening to the show. As always, we appreciate the hell out of it. We, all four of us, attended the Stride show in Marion, Illinois on Saturday to go support our friend, Billy Hills.
And Sarah.
And we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first show and Allie's first show at Stride.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was so odd to cheer Billy Hills.
Yeah.
And felt so good.
It really did.
The best part to me, my favorite moment of the night, was when Sarah came out and she saw us and she was happy and then she, you know, the cheers. And then she literally walks over to me of Asa, Dalton, and Allie and jumps into our arms.
I thought she was going for like the hugs and then all of a sudden it's just like she's in the air and I'm like, oh, Lord, what's happening here?
We held on to her. Yeah. I mean, it was super awkward, but it was awesome. And it was so much fun to cheer them.
Yeah.
We got the best chant of the night going, Sarah's husband.
Yes.
Which cracked her up.
Yeah.
We got called marks for that one.
I'm fine with it.
That's
fair. Fine
with it too. It's not wrong.
It was a good show. I was impressed by a lot of the guys there.
Yeah.
Especially Main Event Mafia. I
Midwest Mafia.
I actually have the.
I keep doing that. God.
Because,
Midwest Mafia. Because I keep thinking of TNA.
I really like the beginning, the opening thing where, the champion and I guess the guy who runs the promotion, Heath Hatton came out and gave Scott Phoenix, Dexter Roswell and
Brian Richards.
I want to say Richard Bryan. I don't know why that just flips in my head.
Well, at least you didn't say Main Event Mafia.
They actually like finished there because like Billy told us at the show Dalton and I went to, like this is still kind of like a training program for these guys, which I'm willing to say you would if Billy hadn't told us that we wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
But they got their actual like certificates of completion, I guess. And then they did the thing where they tore him up and threw him in his face, and then Heath was not having any of that.
Heath, which I
was entertained.
Hit the best, one of the best spears I've ever seen.
Yeah.
On Dexter.
Sorry, Scott. No, it was Scott.
It was Scott. Yeah, that's right, because Dexter was the one that was going to make Stride great again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of the best spears I've ever seen. Like, that hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked the emo right out of him.
So I actually have the I messaged Stride afterwards and asked, like, hey, can you guys give me your info? So I actually have the match list. Cash Borden beat Dalton Diamond.
Which, we saw Dalton Diamond at the last show. Really good. He went up against J.D. Wells.
J.D. Wilk.
Wilk.
Yeah.
Wilk.
You're thinking of Jason Wells.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my
brain. Mixed up. I got you.
My brain is tired, guys.
Yep.
I really liked Dalton Diamond a lot, and I guess this was his tag team partner,
or his
former
tag
team partner returning. Because one of the great things about Stride is, like I meant to ask you this at the show, like, we weren't kidding when we said, like, everyone was involved. Like, there wasn't a quiet person there.
There were some, like, grandmas that got really upset.
There were some people who weren't very happy, but, like, for the most part, like, there were more people at this show than at the last one. Like, yep.
Were pretty excited about the number of
people. They
had
a great turnout. And then, but again, like, everyone there was into the show. There wasn't, you know, the people just kind of sitting there with their arms folded. It was.
Yeah, because, all right, so we went into the show and we call ourselves the tastemakers of CCW, of Cape Championship Wrestling, because of look at Blaster. Enough said. So we went into this show and I was thinking, okay, you guys were telling me, okay, cause this is our first show.
Yeah.
Who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? Who should we cheer?
This is what we did for you, what you did for us at CCW.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to be the ones making the noise like we do at CCW.
No.
We lead. No, there was a group of just old women in front of us that were louder than we were. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I like that match a lot.
Yeah. That was a really good match. Then we had Damage Inc., Axe Altwart, Scott Phoenix beat JD Wilk and Nate Bragg.
JD Wilk and Nate Bragg, I really like them. They were just fantastic.
JD is really athletic. He didn't really get to do as much to show off this match as he did the last time, but like he's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
Now, did you say, was it JD that was personal security for Jason Vaughn
at
CCW?
At Chaffee, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just been with Vaughn every show.
Right.
Like, he's been at every CCW show. He just hasn't.
And that's the cool thing. There was a lot of guys from CCW we saw here, and a lot of guys here that we see at CCW. Lane Austin, the ref, Billy Hills and Sarah Summers, obviously, JD. Mm-hmm. So it's always cool to see familiar faces. I like that.
Yeah. Speaking of Sarah Summers beat Alexa Flood.
Which I finally got to see Tony Flood.
Yep.
By the way.
But he got fired.
He was immediately fired. Which,
so sorry, Billy.
We never got to find out about those security guards, do we?
No.
Because you mean the Towers of Pain?
The Towers of Pain that came out. He's not wrong. Like the big, and they hit like a double suplex, a double choke slam, and then they carried him out. Like, yeah.
Those little kids were like, get the girl. We're like, you kids are vicious. I don't like
that.
Illinois.
Was my favorite chant of the night was after Alexa was leaving the ring, us chanting, go find Tony.
Yeah.
But she left us so fast. I don't know if she heard it.
Yeah. So then I think my personal favorite match of the night, El Magnifico and El Fabuloso beat the DR party of Dexter Roswell and Brian Richards.
My favorite part of that was when Dexter, he kept saying El Magnifico and we would all cheer, and then he'd say it again and we'd cheer again, and they screamed it at us.
Yeah, he got real upset because we kept cheering at him.
That fantastic match, great luchador work.
Borderline.
I mean, they were luchadors. And then, Midwest Mafia, which was Big Roger Mathis and, Red Daniels, and the Hitman Jake Capone beat Chris Hargis and Team Triple X, which was Joey O'Reilly and Jay Spade. Fantastic.
Two things about that. One, Lane, Austin.
Dropping the ball.
What did they pay you? What did they pay you to do?
Well, it is the Mafia.
That?
But, it was such a good match, though.
It was. Yeah. And, you know, Mr. 100 almost got in the ring and almost got into a scrap with the guys from the Midwest Mafia.
Capone? You were on your own. There would have been no PWU behind you.
There's no security rail.
Mr. 100 can handle himself. Don't worry.
I will. Because
what's the worst they can do? Make you put me out of my misery? More power to them.
When the doctor says you have 24 hours to live.
Hurry up.
Yeah.
I love that match too.
Was it Roger Mathis? Because there was one of those guys, and I think it was Roger Mathis,
the one in the shorts and kick pads.
Which, like, my God, like they all looked good, but he's just a monster.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that
dude is a
beast. The entire Midwest Mafia. I like all three of those dudes.
I would love to see them at CCW. I really, especially Mathis. Like, just Mathis has that look of.
Do you hear that, Jeff O'Dell?
Just the pinnacle, being all pinnacle and cocky, and just.
The Midwest Mafia,
show up. Oh yeah,
a pinnacle face turn. Oh my God.
No.
I want to cheer the Midwest Mafia.
Yeah.
Because like, what's Blaster going to do to Red Daniels?
I don't think the Midwest Mafia is going to come across as good guys with the way they look.
I mean, but if they come out against the Pinnacle,
yeah.
I mean, unless they're going for a Shield type thing where they just come in and destroy them,
would work. But
what are you going to? I mean, PWU award winning Blaster. Calm down.
And then
against any of the Midwest Mafia, sorry, Blaster.
Calm down.
And then again, Joey O'Reilly was one of the guys we got to see in the main event of the last show, who blew us away.
He was really good.
He was great.
He was really good.
He was the one that at the beginning of the match did the moonsault like flip to start the match. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was real. Of the people that we saw there, like physically, mm-hmm. he impressed me the most, like in moves wise.
Yeah. And then,
You said Hargis, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I said Hargis.
Chris Hargis. Okay.
And then we had Heath Hatton, which is the, Stride Pro Wrestling champion, beat Farmer Billy Hills via DQ, which sucked.
I was so bummed.
Best moment of that match for me was when Billy's in the ring and I yelled at him, Billy, you're not going to go all Brandon on us, are you? And Billy looks at me with this look.
He gave you the side eye.
Yeah.
And I was like, Billy!
And I know we talked to Billy after the show and he was very frustrated because the ring broke.
Yeah.
Early in that match.
Yeah. Well, early in the night.
Well, early, yeah. They had a problem earlier in the night, but it looked like they got it fixed. And then they had a problem with the ring. But I want to take this opportunity to say that it is an absolute credit to how good Billy and Heath are at what they do, because I'm sure it wasn't the story they wanted to tell.
Right.
And I'm sure they had to call a lot of that stuff on the fly.
Right.
But that was still a great match.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, like, you know, he was very frustrated, and I totally get that, you know.
And we got to see Billy work a different style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was unusual to see, but he's so good at it. I stand by Billy Hills as one of my, not just favorite, like, indie wrestlers. He's one of my favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
Period.
And Heath, like, to his own credit, is amazing. Like, he was the one he was the one that we started the Jedi Master thing.
Yeah, when broke the lightsaber.
He broke the lightsaber over one of the dudes' back. And then whenever, I am now a new fan, so Heath, if you have shirts, I will buy one. He walked around and saw my hat, because I was wearing, like, one of my Star Wars hats. He just looked at me and he's like, I like the hat. As he was going into the ring.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you, when you said that he owned it or ran it, and he was the champ, my first reaction was, no kidding. Well, there's every, you know, indie fed ever. Mm-hmm. But he was good.
Oh, yeah. He was really
great.
It's not like he just rested on his laurels and just said, well, I own it, so I'm champ. No,
and especially because this is fantastic. Like, he also, I think, is in charge of the school, too.
Yeah.
Like, so the training stuff.
And
so.
Just leads by example. He's a fantastic wrestler.
He looked great. He had a great crowd reaction. Because
I know they kind of turned it story that the beginning of the, like, award ceremony. But there's no doubt in my, like, at the end. But there's no doubt in my mind he meant what he was saying about Scott
being proud of those guys, and he just, like, I haven't gotten to talk to him at all, but he just seems like a really cool guy. And from what my like contact at Stride was, because I got a hold of him to get the card, like, he seems like a really cool guy. I think he actually messaged me the correct spellings, because there was like some misspelling things that he was just like, oh, actually, let me fix that for you.
Well, that's the great thing about.
Well, like, whenever we walked in, did you notice what the ticket lady said to Asa and I?
Oh, yeah, she recognized you.
Yeah. She just looked at us like, you guys are back. And then it was like, yeah, we brought people. Like, that's the kind of people that we're dealing with at Stride. They're just really friendly.
Well, not only that, but that's indie wrestling in general. Like,
I don't know if that's true. Because, like, I hear some of the stories that, like, Jason tells, or even, like, Brandon or Billy.
Okay, well, maybe.
Like, but we are fortunate enough that, so we're now 2 for 2 on
indie.
And I'm willing to say, like, 3 for 3 whenever we finally go get to see Austin Lane's promotion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or his home promotion. Like, this area is just really good about just people not being dicks.
Yeah.
You know, they're
caring about the product, caring about their in-ring stuff.
Yeah.
Both Stride and Cape Championship Wrestling are entertaining, and it's just the love that goes into it is not the same kind of love you see in a lot of wrestling that we watch. It's so by the numbers, by the books, we don't care.
And corporate and just like, okay, you can't do this.
It's the difference between going to GameStop and Gaming Grounds.
Yeah.
Is the difference between seeing Stride or Cape Championship Wrestling and then going to see WWE Live. You're still entertained, but you don't get that same feeling that you get from going and talking to these guys and interacting with them. It's a feeling you can't match. And if you've never been to an indie show and you are, especially in this area, you have so many options. You have to go see it.
Marion is only an hour away from us. Cape Championship Wrestling is
literally
5 minute
right
drives.
In our backyard.
Yeah. So, check them both out. I'm really excited because they already have their poster made for their next show.
Yeah.
Which is,
somebody sent it to me. Somebody did send it to me.
Well, while Dalton's looking that up, I do want to remind you guys that Cape Championship Wrestling is coming back to Cape Girardeau on January 28th, the day before the Royal Rumble. We have tickets at Gaming Grounds. They're $10 a piece. Come and get them. We've got a couple left. Cash only. Cash bird only. No trash birds. there's a great card for that. We're going to talk about it more in the upcoming weeks, cause we're excited about it.
Yep.
And, please go check it out. CapeWrestling.com. Get your tickets there otherwise. And awesome.
Yeah, and then if you love that, please go check out No Love Lost, February 11th, Stride Pro Wrestling. It's going to be at 6:30 at the CMA Dojo, which is where it's at the mall. I believe $10 tickets, adults, kids 12 and under, $5. If you want to see what Stride is about, please go see them at – give me 1 second because I'm in 4 different chats now. social media includes Facebook page, which is Stride Pro Wrestling. At Stride Pro Wrestling on Instagram and at Stride Wrestling on Twitter. Please give them a like, a mention.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell them we sent you.
Yeah, let's say tell them PW sent you.
Podzilla 1985 Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Also, I have some bad news.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want to tell you guys this, but I feel now's... I was going to wait till after the show.
Oh, is this the dumb bit?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I thought we lost sound.
No, I got a message from Vince, and he will not allow you in the Rumble.
You're going to need to CC me that email.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
And I'm also going to have to explain to him what a precedent is.
We're gonna keep you guys up to date on
Ace. But I called dibs.
Apparently some other guy called dibs first.
Many
John
Okega.
Mackle something. I don't know. But he apparently is rolling right in there taking his
spot.
I was
thinking John McEnroe. And I was just like, I'm like, oh, he's not going to be able to get the censors pass clear. It's PG. TV PG is what I'm going for. Because he swears a lot.
And we're out of here
Words
on that.
Words are hard.
Thank you guys for listening to Pro
Wrestling Five-star man. I'm out.
Keep rolling.
Stay tuned. If you're a wrestling fan, next week, every Wednesday, you can catch Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. A new episode every week. All the best in news and talk when it comes to pro wrestling. Thank you guys for listening. By the way, I'm Shannon Young. Never said it. Mr. 100. Asa, Dalton, Allie, thanks for being here. Billy, thanks for listening in the back over there somewhere. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Tanner Thursday. We're talking about education. Have a great night.